Log Talk Radio. Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show. Say what? What did she say? When? Where? And the question I've asked my whole life, why? So today I'm going to ask, why do people listen to what they listen to? And what do you listen to? So we're going to answer why and what today. Because these last few weeks, I've just been investigating a lot of streams of information that are available to us today. And, of course, if you're alive anywhere in the world over the last 2 weeks on all forms of AM, FM radio and television and internet streaming, all we've been hearing about is that missing Malaysian airplane. So now apparently the official statement has been given that the plane apparently blew up. I would like to think there was a fire and the smoke from the fire just put all those people asleep. And then the plane probably flew on autopilot until it blew up. And then all of the pieces went into the Indian Ocean. So now during these 2 weeks, there has been so much information. Well, is it information? Isn't it more speculation, suspicion, conjecture? So information on all forms of media and especially in the alternative media, which is this radio streaming on the internet, which is what Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and a lot of these other internet radio shows are. And so the the stories range from aliens putting an invisible shield around the plane until some kind of cosmic agreement is arranged with the leaders of the Earth, or the plane went into a black hole into another universe, and or the plane was in Hollow Earth and all the people on the plane are okay and they're just waiting to be reunited with their loved ones, knowing that they had participated in an experiment of global unity. And finally, one spiritual voice speaking for an ascended master just said, it blew up. Now, I ask you, which of these streams of information would you continue to listen to? You know, the stream of information who said that the plane was okay and that all of the passengers were alive and would soon be reunited with their loved ones has a tremendous following. Thousands of people listen to this show regularly. And I used to listen to it. But as I listened in from week to week, I began to discern a discordant, almost hypnotic trance-like power connected to it. It like lured the listener to connect and to stay connected by disconnecting their own personal autonomy and discernment and submitting to the trance-like information that was being fed to them. Now, this show, along with several other shows, is also luring people's minds with promises of great financial empowerment. The idea of millions of dollars that are going to be coming to them soon, money they can use to help people, to help alleviate the suffering of humanity. And they're telling these people to buy certain types of money from all different types of countries. And then when there is a currency reevaluation, they will be rich beyond their wildest dreams. So, of course, there hasn't been a currency reevaluation. So these streams of information have to keep people's interest, you know, some way. So they talk about different kinds of money and other ways that riches could be redistributed to the masses. These shows never talk about the person themselves being the source of the riches. They talk about getting the money from somebody else who has lots of money. You know, of course, that's kind of like stealing, but anyway. Now they're talking about some kind of gold and getting on the gold standard. And then I know one person who told me they went and put all their life savings into gold. I talked to my stockbroker about it, and he said, "Marcy, can you eat gold? Can you go to the store and buy a loaf of bread with gold?" You know, and since these people bought the gold, it was $13 an ounce, and now it's about $11 an ounce. So how is that safe for your money? Well, another friend of mine talks to Jesus on a regular basis. And by the way, I do too, and you can too, if you want to. So she asked Jesus if she should buy dinars. And he said, "None of that really matters. None of that is important." Jesus said, "Just seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." So this just says to me, just find out what your purpose is and live your purpose, and you'll automatically have plenty of money. I found this out to be true myself. When 20 years ago, I discovered that I was to marry people at the beach, and soon I was making plenty of money for myself. For myself. I did it. I don't live an outlandish lifestyle. I don't need to wear designer label clothes or carry a designer label purse or wear designer label shoes, because I don't believe in letting my human form be used as a living advertisement for these other names and labels. I live as Marcy Ann. That's the only name that has power for me. If those other names want me to advertise for them, they're going to have to pay me to wear their clothes. Not me pay them to advertise for them. You can listen to my show, What's in a Name? It's in the archives, to learn how I deciphered the code to my own name that released the power of my name, which is what now makes me as much money as I need and desire. I don't rely on the name Zoo Lily or Zugs or Calvin Klein or Ralph Lauren or Vera Wang or Coach to feel powerful and successful, because my own name, Marcy Ann, is powerful enough. So the ancient Hunas, these are the ancient Hawaiian people, say that energy flows where attention goes. So if we're giving our attention to these various streams of information, then we need to listen with discernment and only connect with the information and continue to give our attention to it if we get a pure and true resonance with the information down deep in our heart. And let me just tell you right now, that goes for my show too. I am totally in agreement that you should listen to my show with your heart and you discern personally for yourself what I say, if it is good for you or not. I haven't really been able to see that the voices on these other shows actually benefit personally from getting people to do these things, because most of these shows are free. And it just seems to me like it's a game that they play for their own personal entertainment. I talked about this on one of my other shows, like somewhere in the history of humanity, a group of beings, and not necessarily evil in their original intent, but they just got kind of bored, and so they set up this game, and they play their game every day with us. We are the game pieces. They just roll the dice and they move us around on the game called the game of life. And even though there is a rather consistent set of rules for this game, there's also a certain fluidity to these rules that allows for something different. You know, kind of like what Sheldon does on the Big Bang Theory when he sees one of the others having too much influence in the group, so he changes the rules to keep himself the center of attention and the source of all knowledge. This is what it feels like to me. And what I can't understand is what keeps people connected to these sources of information. You know, once something as simple as the plane blew up is finally known and documented, how could you continue to listen to any of those other streams of information, especially the one that said the plane was safe and all the people on the plane were okay and would soon be reunited with their loved ones? You know, there's other shows on radio and television and in the alternative media that also stream information every day that Jesus is coming soon and the tribulation is about to start. One show every day says that today is the day. Today. And the entire show is people who call in and say they had a dream or they heard God say that today is the day. And every day they say that today is the day. And this has been going on for months and months and months. Now, what keeps people tuning into this show every day? Is their life so terrible that all they really have to look forward to is that today is the day they get to get out of here? You know, even though it's been months and months and months and it still hasn't happened, and the people who run one of these shows uses a lot of condemning modalities to explain why today didn't turn out to be the day, and if you begin to doubt and wonder why today wasn't the day, then you're not worthy of being taken away when today is the day. So the listener then feels like they might miss it, so they continue to wait for another day, because maybe tomorrow is the day. Well, another one of these shows has a tremendous following, and it takes 3 hours every day to talk about everything evil and terrible that is happening on the earth, and how all of this evil and all of these terrible things that are happening now just prove that we're at the doorway to the tribulation and that Jesus will be here any minute to take the saved out of here. Well, you know what? I talked about this on my last show and then on my show called Christians Awake. And you can listen to these shows in the archives. Because first of all, most of these people who are sitting around waiting for Jesus to come and take them out of here are poor and sick and needy. So you know what? They're really not saved yet. So they're not going to go anyway. One pastor who talks about this never talks about the true salvation, and I would say here that today is the day But today is the day of salvation. But it's the salvation that Jesus preached about when he was here. Because Jesus' salvation is a life of total health. You would never be sick. Total wealth and prosperity, exceedingly abundant over all we can think about or even ask for. And this person that's saved would be in a life of ministry where the deaf hear, the blind see, cripples walk, the storm is stilled, food is multiplied, and the dead are raised. You know, actually, the people who run these shows are not saved either. So it's the blind leading the blind. It's the people who do the works of God as Jesus demonstrated that are saved. And there's no reason for Jesus to come again. Because the saved, the representatives of God here on earth, in the here and now, are doing the works of God and even the greater works that Jesus did. So Jesus was only one person doing his works in a very teeny tiny limited area on the earth. But as those of us who recognize him and receive his message that he said, ye are gods, and we begin to live in the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, then we have thousands and thousands of Jesuses walking all over the earth doing the great and wondrous works of God. These are the greater works. And this is what brings the kingdom of God upon the earth and the kingdoms of this world. Become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Jesus is the Lord, and we are the Christ. You know, I learned about this principle of salvation early on in my wedding business because I soon found out I could only do one wedding at 5 o'clock on Saturday. So I would have a bride call me and book Saturday at 5 o'clock. Well, then the next bride who called wanted Saturday at 5 o'clock the same day. So I thought to myself, well, I need to clone myself. I need to be two people if I'm going to do both of these weddings at 5 o'clock on Saturday. So I did. I hired another officiant, and I set up another team who would go and do the other wedding for me at the same time on the same day. And then I hired another officiant, and I set up another team who could go and do another wedding for me at 5 o'clock on that same Saturday. And now I had three weddings at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Now, I learned that that was my limit. That was all I could personally handle. You know, all Jesus could personally handle while he was here in the flesh was 12 disciples. But the energy source that is available to empower us as sons and daughters of God today so that we can be manifested to the conditions of on the earth today, this energy source who hears the groans and the travails of the people and who is yelling, where are my sons and daughters that I can send forth to deliver my creation? And then this energy source of love looks and sees these poor, pathetic, sick, and deceived people just sitting on their hands, helpless and scared, powerless, ignorant, and being manipulated by the blind leaders of today. And this energy source sees them sitting on the pew just waiting for someone or something to come and get them out of here. And if you could see into the heart of love that operates the energy of this universe, you would just see complete exasperation and gnashing of teeth. And if you could hear the heart of love that operates this universe, you would hear weeping. and moaning. This is not my will. This is not what I want. And they wish that the preachers and the speakers on all of these streams of information would tell the people the truth and quit peddling lies and judgment and condemnation and manipulation and control. The truth is freedom. And now I have finally reached the place that I want to talk about today. Freedom. First of all, why would someone keep listening to someone who told them that the plane was safe and all the passengers were safe and soon would be returned to their loved ones? Why would someone keep listening to someone who's telling them every day for months and months and months and months and months that today is the day that Jesus is coming? Why would someone keep listening to someone who just talks about all the evil and the terrible things that are happening on earth? You know, there's over 500 people in that chat room every day, as well as tens of thousands listening every day as they talk about conspiracies and behind-the-scenes mysteries. They discuss political plots and secret meetings and hidden agendas, some of which can be substantiated by fact, but most of it is just suspicion based on prior happenings. And some is conjecture, and a lot of it is just fantasizing. What fascinates people about these shows? What keeps the human mind engaged in wanting to continue to connect to these streams of information? Well, first of all, I think that people don't have to do anything other than just listen. They're not being challenged to make any changes in their life. They can just listen. So it's a place where a person can go and be relaxed and entertained, where there's pretty much no judgment or condemnation, and where they can maybe find out something that gives them a one-uppance with their friends or family, something they can talk about that might make them feel important. Because maybe most people's lives are just pretty boring. There just isn't a lot of stimulation. Things are pretty architectural, already all set up. And they just robotically go through the motions. I've asked this question many times on my show. Do you have complete autonomy to do your job using all of your gifts and talents to make decisions about how you do your job? And I'll bet there's hardly one person in a thousand who can answer yes to that question. Most people just have a directive from corporate about how things are done. And they just pretty much have to operate within the guidelines of the company's policies and procedures. But I've told you about my youngest daughter who continues to astound her managers and make her sales goals even though the company is constantly changing them. So corporate decided to make a visit to her store to see how she did it. And she sat in that room with the men in black, these four guys from corporate who came in their suits and ties to watch her in action, and she told them, "Well, first of all, I have to tell you that I don't do anything according to the company's policies and procedures because I have found out that they just don't work. So I just do my own thing." Now, this meeting happened about a year ago, so now corporate has tapped her to be on a management team that's going to go out all across the country to their more than 4,000 stores and teach those managers how to do what she's learned that does work. Now, this is such an outstanding example of what can happen in a company If there is freedom for employees to be able to make a contribution from their own source of wisdom and understanding about their job, the person on the job is the one who's most in tune with their own environment, their particular customers, and what works in one store might not work as well in another store. And this is where the freedom of an employee can dictate operations that benefit and prosper the immediate and local situation. So the first thing my daughter's going to do when she starts meeting with the managers of these other stores is to ask them, what would you like to do in your store? What do you think would work in your store? What ideas do you have for your customer? And by tapping into the knowledge of the local employee and giving allowance for their ideas and information, there will probably be an excitement that is generated and will energize the atmosphere in the store and create new space for success. And can you imagine how a manager would feel if corporate said, what do you think would be helpful here? What would you like to see happen in your store? Just talk to any bartender, because you know what? Bartenders are kind of like the pastors out in the world. Customers come in and bitch and complain about their job. And a lot of people feel so stressed because they're pressured by all these stupid company policies that are either archaic or clumsy and convoluted, keeps them all bogged down in paperwork and statistics where there isn't any allowance for their creativity. They are not in freedom. They are in an architectural corporatedom. And I think that people who deal with this type of a situation day after day are maybe already pre-programmed to listen to these kinds of shows that are based in negative ideas, shows that are complaining about everything that is going on, shows that tell things that aren't true just to make people feel better, shows that entertain and tweak our minds with mysterious and secret stuff that's interesting and entertaining. Shows that don't tell you you have to do anything. All you have to do is just wait, and soon all of this will be over. So I would like to challenge you tonight. What are you listening to? What do you expose your sacred heart and your precious mind to? What do you allow into your personal space, that personal and private part of yourself? Do you monitor this stuff? Do you listen with discernment? Or do you just listen in a passive state just to relax or to be entertained or to hear something out of the ordinary or beyond the normal that sounds exciting and might fill your architectural life with something new and interesting? You know, we do live in the information age. We live in a time when we can Google anything. You can look up something on your phone anywhere that you are, any place in the world. So this is just not the time to be ignorant or to listen to anything without all of our antennas up and using the inner spiritual wisdoms that are stored in our heart to call and discern. Now, to call and discern means to perceive with the eyes, the ears, the heart, and the intellect, to detect, to recognize or comprehend, to recognize as truth, this is our sovereign right as a human being. Because remember, what we think about, what we talk about, that is what we are creating. And we have a truth center within us. And all of the truth from before the beginning and extending beyond the ending is available to us. We can know. This is what makes us divine. We can know. And what we connect to and give our energy to is what we are actually empowering, not only in our own life, but in the life here on the planet, corporately. You know, and just one person changing what they think and what they believe and what they say and do changes everything and everybody. One person standing in their own sovereignty, in their own personal truth, raises the bar for everyone. So let's just begin to listen to what's connected to the highest and best good for all concerned. And if you're one of these ones sitting on the pew just waiting for Jesus to come and get you out of here, since I've been hearing that Jesus was coming soon since I was 8 years old, and I'm now 80, let me suggest that you start to look inside of yourself. Look into your heart. Because on the walls of your heart, it is written what your purpose is for this life that you're in right now. And what you are supposed to be doing today. And then while you're waiting, you could maybe start to take one step towards what you hope for and dream about and would like to see in your life right now, so at least you could have some happiness now. I mean, you need to be saved in order to get raptured anyway, don't you? And you're not saved if you're sick and poor and not in ministry to your fellow man. So to get saved, you can be getting well and healthy and making a lot of money and doing the works of the ministry. And those of you who are blurred by promises of riches beyond your wildest dreams, let me just say that the riches of the kingdom are only going to be distributed to those who have been trained and prepared to handle this kind of responsibility. And this training and preparation starts in your own life right here, right now. And if you don't have any money now, how in the world could you possibly be made responsible for riches beyond your wildest dreams? You have no idea how to handle that kind of money. Do you know how many people are going to come and knock on your door and want a part of your bounty? I have been abased and I have abounded. And I have had to learn how to manage my abundance. I have had to learn how to discern and be able to listen to those who would suggest what I need to do to invest and divest my abundance. This is why you need to begin to learn discernment now to what you are listening to and what you're giving your power away to. This is why it is so important that you begin to know how to go into your heart and read what is written there on the walls of your heart, things that you can find out about who you are and why you're here. And what you're supposed to be doing today. That ability to discern is in your heart. It is the God spark that beats your heart. And that discernment is the ability to know what is true and what is deception. The ability to know what is right for you and what is not good for you. Discernment is to know if a stream of information is true or not. You can discern What is the motivation of the speaker? What is the ultimate goal of the stream of information? Is it helping you to operate in all of the powers and abilities if you're of your own personal and unique self? And if you are still listening to me at this point of my show, I want you to know that you are light. You are a light being that has come forth from the source of all light as a single, unique ray of expression, unlike anyone else. You have a special purpose and reason for being here. You actually chose to come at this time. Do you know why? Do you know that you can find out why? I've asked that question my whole life, and I've found out why I am here, and I am doing what I am supposed to be doing. And what we give our attention to, what we think about, what we hope for, what we desire and dream about, all of our thoughts and feelings are creating our life. And your ears are divine portals to your sacred inner self. So what are you listening to? And I would like to close my show tonight with a decree. Because the words that we speak come forth from the thoughts and the feelings that we have. So I would like to offer to you this decree to help you and me create an environment for the power to be successful in our life, to be God's representative here in form, here on earth, right here, right now, and bring peace and happiness first to ourselves, and then to radiate out peace and happiness to our fellow men. I'm going to say this decree three times. I am light, glowing light, radiating light, intensified light. God consumes my darkness, transmuting it into light. This day, I am a representative from the great central sun. Flowing through me is a crystal river, a living fountain of light that can never again be qualified by my own human thoughts and feelings. I am now an outpost of the divine. Such darkness as has used me in the past is now swallowed up by the mighty river of light, which I am. I am, I am, I am light. I live, I live, I live in light. I am light's fullest dimension. I am light's purest intention. I am light, 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 flooding the world everywhere I am, creating, strengthening, and empowering my purpose in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Right here, right now, I am light, glowing light, radiating light, intensified light. God consumes my darkness, transmuting it into light. This day, I am a representative from the great central sun. Flowing through me is a crystal river, a living fountain of light that can never again be qualified by my own negative human thought and feeling. I am now an outpost of the divine. Such darkness as has used me in the past is now swallowed up by the mighty river of light, which I am. I am, I am, I am light. I live, I live, I live in light. I am light's fullest dimension. I am light's purest intention. I am light, 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 flooding the world everywhere I am, creating, strengthening, and empowering my purpose in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, right here, right now. I am light, glowing light, radiating light, intensified light. God consumed all my darkness and transmuted it into light. This day I am a representative from the great central sun. Flowing through me is a crystal river, a living fountain of light that can never again be qualified by any negative human thought and feeling. I am now an outpost of the divine, and such darkness that has used me in the past is now swallowed up by the mighty river of light, which I am. I am, I am, I am light. I live, I live, I live in light. I am light's fullest dimension. I am light's purest intention. I am light, flooding the world everywhere that I am, creating, strengthening, empowering my purpose in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, right here, right now. So go forth this day, fellow traveler, along the path. Be the light. Be that city set on a hill, that beacon of hope that streams forth in the fullness of God's love. Fill up yourself first and then radiate it out. So now this is Marcy Ann. Thank you so much for listening today. This is my Wednesday middle of the week pick-me-up. And you can also listen on Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And I'm going to close my show now with that wonderful Hawaiian word, aloha. Aloha means hello, goodbye, and I love you. My music is by visionarymusic.com. This is music especially designed and created to help you become a manifested son of God.